I'm gonna now flip the subject to another way that we produce seafood. Sebastian, let's talk about aquaculture. Tell me what you think is the number one issue after the election in relation to aquaculture.
Well,
and is that the coast of Maine behind your head?
It's the Gulf of Maine and the East Coast.
Gulf of Maine. Thank you.
We're talking big school offshore aquaculture here.
Okay.
So let me first start by saying I am by far the least qualified for panelists. I listen and I learn always. Whenever I hear Lee and Bob talk, I learn a lot. And although I haven't met your other panelists before, I'm sure I will learn from them as well. And I want to just reinforce one thing that Lee said in particular, which is I think, you know, from our perspective, it's probably the congressional races which are going to make the biggest impact here as we go forward, both from a policy point of view, but also from a staffing point of view and the connections to agencies. And I think Bob alluded to this as well in terms of changes in staffing. And one of the frustrations that I suspect my commercial fishing colleagues have, and we certainly have from the aquaculture perspective, is the changes in staffing over the years and the need to re-educate staff back to kind of a basic level of understanding of what the concepts are. And the fact that in some ways that has accelerated over the years, and it's just you start from ground zero again and again and again. I think we are at quite an unusual place as a country right now, and I say that for a number of reasons. I think obviously COVID has impacted things, and it's impacted not just elections and politics, but it's also impacted markets. You start from ground zero again and again and again. I think we are at quite an unusual place as a country right now. And I say that for a number of reasons. I think obviously COVID has impacted things, and it's impacted not just elections and politics, but it's also impacted markets. And I guess if there's one message I want to leave with everybody here is that, you know, elections are important, and we are incredibly privileged to live in the country we live in, and have the ability to voice our thoughts and concerns through election processes. But at the end of the day, the long-term market trends in terms of supply and demand, what the public wants, what our customers want in terms of products, are actually probably more important. We all, as business people, have to operate within the climate that's established for us by the politicians and by policy. And as advocates for the industry, and I'm sure Lee and Bob are the same as I am, we got to work with everybody, right? So no matter what the election brings us, we have to find a way to work with whoever is there to represent our private sector business interests and allow them to do business in a way which is sustainable and predictable. And that's the challenge with elections, is predictability and kind of figuring out how you plan your business around a variable that is at times quite volatile and unpredictable. In terms of aquaculture, we're at another kind of unique place in the country, in the sense that there have been changes in the seafood ownership structure, where the ownership structure between wild fisheries and aquaculture producers are beginning to merge. And so oftentimes people posit one group against another. And in fact, if you look at ownership and you look at business development, those sectors are merging over time. And that is, I believe, a good thing for the country. What it means is that the criticism that the seafood sector has been divided for many years is becoming less and less relevant to the actual reality of the sector. And so one of the things you see is increasing working between the aquaculture sector and the wild fisheries sector around a whole series of issues, whether it's what the politics are in DC, whether it's national marketing initiatives, whether it's trade issues. There are a lot of places where we have a lot in common, and we're beginning to work more and more together. And I personally find that very exciting. I've been in the seafood business for 45 years, in the aquaculture business for 35 years, And I'm delighted to see that this recognition of common goals around working waterfronts and domestic seafood production and seafood production in general, whether it's imports or domestic, is beginning to come together. I think that's one of the reasons why we as a sector will begin to be more politically influential than we have been in the past. Historically, our opponents, whether they're opposing wild fisheries or whether they're opposing aquaculture, have been able to divide and conquer, have been able to drive wedges between those different sectors. And I think that is becoming less and less the case. I agree with Lee wholeheartedly about the 30 by 30 bill being kind of a marker if you will, kind of a recipe for what happens if the D's sweep both the House, the Senate, and the presidency. I think one of the challenges we have in the aquaculture sector is we are not recognized in a structural way within the fisheries management arena. And in fact, you know, the recent court case around aquaculture in the Gulf of Mexico specifically says Magnuson-Stevenson is not the appropriate regulatory vehicle, if you will, and the councils are not the appropriate regulatory vehicle to regulate aquaculture in federal waters. That leaves us kind of hanging. The exciting thing at a national level is there is tremendous interest in the buyer community in particular for the development of a domestic aquaculture producer sector. And that buying community is beginning to put pressure on political entities in the political arena, so that you are seeing interest in from the buyers, the big restaurant chains, the big food service chains, saying we need a domestic aquaculture producer sector, much the same as we have a domestic fisheries producer sector. And we want it modeled on the same level of sustainability and responsibility that the commercial fishing sector is, which, you know, very clearly, globally, the U.S. is one of the world's leaders in terms of sustainability and wild fisheries. So I think there is kind of a rising interest domestically in supporting the emergence of a domestic aquaculture sector. We have one now. It's not anywhere near as big as the commercial fishing sector. There are a number of things that need to happen, but the way we're seeing it reflected are in two very concrete fashions. There is a bill pending in the Senate and the Congress, the Aqua Act, that talks about the support and the kind of regulatory framework for aquaculture in federal waters. And then we're also seeing in the recent report coming out of MAFAC, the Advisory Council to NOAA Fisheries, a recognition that the marketing needs for commercial fishing, domestic commercial fishing, and domestic aquaculture are aligned, that we need to market seafood as a sector as opposed to trying to market one or the other. And I think that's a very positive development. And then the last piece is the recognition at the agency level, the multi-agency level, that there needs to be a national aquaculture economic development plan, much the same way as there is in other jurisdictions around the world, who provide most of the seafood, frankly, that comes to this country, who are competitors, who are using aquaculture as a tool to grow their seafood supply chain and then target the U.S. marketplace. And so there is a recognition both in the environmental community, but also in the policy community, that we have really missed the boat here. And there is a need for a national economic development plan, much the same as countries like Japan or Chile or Norway or Ireland or many of the countries in the EU have used aquaculture as an economic development tool for their coastal working waterfront communities. So it's exciting times. We'll see what the election brings us. I learned many years ago, I'm a farmer who's washed up on shore. I am not a political pundit, so I don't handicap elections. But I think it's going to be interesting times, and we will, as a sector, have to find a way to work with whoever ends up in whatever the positions they are. And my hope is that the seafood sector collectively, both wild and aquaculture, can work together to make the point that working waterfronts in particular are vital to this country. They are in our national interests. And if we do not do something different, we are going to lose them.
Sebastian, I want to ask you two questions. One, you mentioned the Aqua Act. I guess I should say Aqua. It's got the extra A on the end of it.
Yeah.
But the bill has been around. It was introduced in a previous session. They got it teed up. They've got bipartisan support for it. Do you see that getting any traction in the next congressional session, especially if Democrats take control of the Senate, House, and White House?
I suspect it will get traction irrespective of who wins the election. And a fair disclosure, as the vice president of the National Aquaculture Association, we have taken a position on the bill. We do not support the current version. We have some concerns about the specifics in the bill. And those concerns are largely driven by the realities of how it would play out on the ground or on the water, if you will. But I think, you know, there is a growing momentum for some form of legislation that sorts out aquaculture at a federal level and particularly in federal waters.
Yep. We just lost Mark. So I'm going to keep talking while I try to get him back. Okay. So on the other question I had for you was in relation to the president's directive. It seemed to, simultaneous to the Aqua Act getting out there, it seemed to give the aquaculture industry a little momentum in the past year. Could you talk a little bit about what I'm referring to, kind of give a little bit of background on it, and maybe, you know, does a change of administration take away that momentum?
It's a great question. Ultimately, we don't know the answer to that. I will say, I think, you know, demand drives interest in this sector, and the demand in the marketplace is very clear. We need more seafood, and wherever it comes from, the interest in domestic production is high. So I think there is as Peter Drucker would say, the underlying fundamentals are strong. The EO, the executive order, was really one of the first times in many, many years where an administration has very clearly our domestic production is high. So I think there is as Peter Drucker would say, the underlying fundamentals are strong. The EO, the executive order, was really one of the first times in many, many years where an administration has very clearly articulated that the development of a domestic aquaculture sector is a priority. We haven't seen that since probably the 80s.
I'm sorry to stop you, but could you give a little bit of the background on this? Like what is he asking? What has he got in motion?
Well, there's a lot of moving pieces, and we probably don't have enough time to go through all the details. But the bottom line is the directive to federal agencies was recognize that this is a national priority, that over 85% of the seafood that's consumed in this country comes from imports. That creates a very high trade deficit, that we have to address that. It is in our national interest to address that. And then he gave directives to individual agencies to do a series of specific things and deadlines for doing that. And one of the things that he directed NOAA, the Department of Commerce, and NOAA Fisheries to do was to come up with this National Economic Development Plan. There were some other directives that were associated as well. And I think the most important piece for people to understand is it was the first time in probably 20 years that at a national level, this was articulated as a national priority. Now, whether that follows through into a following administration, we will see. There's a lot of debate about what aquaculture should look like and what the environmental restrictions on aquaculture should be as we go forward. I think the most disappointing thing for us in the private sector is that many folks in the environmental community are still stuck in the science that's 25, 30 years old, and they don't recognize the tremendous evolution and innovation that has occurred in the private sector with respect to environmental impact and reducing that. And so, to be very frank about it, if we get a Democratic sweep, I think, you know, from the aquaculture sector, we are concerned that we will be dragged back into debating all that stuff all over again, when in fact, certainly in the scientific community, if you talk to the scientists around this, this is kind of old hat. And we really need to be focused on, okay, so we've made these innovations, we've made these really radical improvements. How do we now provide a business environment that allows American capital to invest in America as opposed to investing in Central America or South America or China or wherever it is that they've been investing in, because they can't do it in America because of the regulatory climate? So that's really the question that remains. And the one, I think, really interesting twist on this whole thing is, if we get a D sweep, the Ds are obviously very focused on climate change. And there are a lot of pieces around aquaculture that have a tremendous amount of tools to contribute to managing around climate change and mitigating climate change. And so that's really the question we from the private sector have, is how will we fit in? Will we fit in only on the environmental side, or will we fit in on the business community and business development side as well?
Okay. Sebastian, thank you for articulating that.